for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Price: Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is tape one of two tapes on Babylon by Reverend W.L. Duncan.
Reading from Revelation, the 18th chapter, and starting with the first verse, "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Now I want you to notice a scripture here that is very, very shocking, actually, to most believers. For because many times when we think of Babylon, we think of a certain church system, etc. But as we approach the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see more and more that in the end time, there's going to be a distinct distinction between the false church and between the true church or the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we read in Revelation, the 18th chapter, and the verses that I've just read to you, and in the second verse, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Then I want you to notice the words of John when he said in the first verse, And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people. Now here the Spirit of God is speaking to the church where actually the believers are. And many times we have mentioned to you that people feel that the demon spirits are just in the world, they're not in the church and so forth. But he is speaking to his people, and he says, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plague. Alright, he tells us here that the church system has become the habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And as we have been sharing together concerning Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and the 10th, and the 11th, and the 12th verses, and it tells us, For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, against spiritual wickedness in high places, against the powers of darkness. And we realize that people that are content today to stay in the old order, and they're afraid to move out because of reproach and rejection and repercussions and so forth, that actually the church, even though it can be under the name of Pentecost, it can be under the name of full gospel and all, and yet if they do not stand for the move of God, if they go against that which has been spoken in the Word of God and what God has decreed to do in these days by the Holy Ghost, that place becomes the hold of every foul spirit. And I'll tell you, saints of God, the Word of God says to come out of her and be not partakers, he said, because if you stay in that place, he said, it is a hold of every foul spirit. And a person that will stay and refuse to run out of Babylon and to walk on into the deeper things of God, they are open for demon possession, because this is what the Word of God has spoken and said. Then I want you to notice the scripture in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and starting with the 3rd verse. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now for years, even in our religious system, in our Pentecostal systems and all, we have tried to make that our actually warfare is a natural warfare. It's a fleshly warfare. When the Word of God tells us that though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, and that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to what? But mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. And then notice what he says in the 5th verse. Casting down every imagination, casting down imaginations. Now, this is where the human spirit comes in. This is where your intelligence comes in. This is where the discipline on behalf of the believer comes in, because this is something you have to do yourself. You can ask God to do it. You can ask somebody else to do it. They can minister to you. They can pray for you. But now is the time that it comes where your human spirit will come in. And it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And may the Spirit of God minister to us, and may we realize here that this is where the human element, this is where the human spirit is involved, and that we have to bring under subjection, and we have to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Lord. Remember, child of God, that whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are of good report and so forth, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, we have been considering and studying together on the gift of discerning of spirits. And again, I would like to mention for those that are just moving into our study here that according to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter and the first verse, Paul said that he would not have us to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. And as we have mentioned before, that many people are ignorant concerning spiritual gifts because of the lack of knowledge, and God's people have been destroyed because of the lack of knowledge. And then in 1 Corinthians 12 and 6, for he worketh all in all. And as we have spoken to you many times and told you that he worketh all the nine gifts of the Spirit in all who have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. For the manifestation of the Spirit of God is given to every man to profit withal. We have moved on in, and we have shown and brought out the fact of areas that have been opened in the Christian's life. A person can be demon-possessed because of being born with demons. They could be demon-possessed because of circumstances as a child that they had no authority or dominion over. Or they could be demon-possessed because of an area that is open, has been open even in childhood, or an area that has been open when they were younger, and thinking that when they got older that that would be taken care of just by repenting. Now, a person can receive forgiveness for their sins. The Lord will accept them, and they are a part of the body of Christ. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But no place in the Scripture do we find that just because we repent of our sins, that this causes the demons to leave. And this is the reason the Lord has admonished all the way through. He said to go forth, he said, heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out devils. Now, as we move on in Matthew, I want to share with you the math of the Scripture in Matthew, the 12th chapter, and the 22nd verse. And as we read these scriptures, I pray that the Holy Spirit will keep your hearts and your minds enlightened, and that you come to the place that you realize that you have tried to move into the things of God, but to no avail, that you will allow the Spirit of God to move upon you, and that as the ministry of deliverance will come, that you will allow these demons to go, so that you can begin to move and walk in a walk of victory. In Matthew 12 and 22, then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the Son of God? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And how we see here that actually that many people that are dumb, many people that are blind, it is actually not that something is wrong with them in the physical, but because of the demon possession in that area, the devil has brought devastation and destruction to the part that will cause a person to see, and also to the part that will cause a person to hear. Now remember, according to the Word of God, the devil is out to do one thing, demons are out to do one thing, and that is to destroy and kill. He is out to destroy and kill. And remember that as he has an open area or open areas in your life, that is, it is to do nothing but to bring chaos and destruction, to bring affliction and sickness to the person. Now, according to the Word of God, many people that are suffering need not medical care, but they need deliverance in the name of Jesus. I'm going to mention that again. Our hospitals are filled. Thank God for medical doctors. But when it comes to the ministry of demons and demon powers, I don't care how much help you can receive in the natural realm. There is no person except somebody that can speak the word in the name of Jesus that can help you concerning demon possession, because these demons have to leave because of the power in the name of Jesus. And again, I would like to mention here that many people are suffering today. They need not medical attention, but they need deliverance from the powers of demons that have even taken a hold and that are destroying certain organs in their bodies. The answer is not in hospitals. The answer is not in asylum. The answer is not in institutions. But the answer is in every believer becoming a part of Christ, and Christ becoming a part of them to the degree that they can minister deliverance in Jesus' name. There are more infirmities, cruelties, and suicide caused by evil spirits today than any doctor can conceive. Now, I'm going to mention that again, so that you will be conscious of this as you read the newspaper, so that you can be conscious of this as you hear the newscast, so that you can be conscious of the demon that is out, that is bringing destruction, so that you will know how to bind in the name of the Lord. Because there are more infirmities, there are more cruelty, there are more suicide caused by evil spirits today than any doctor can conceive. Minds are still wrecked and driven by cruel, tormenting spirits, lashing into frenzy, pressing into violent acts, and urging self-destruction. Many people are bringing self-destruction on themselves, not because they don't want to live, not actually because they're not enjoying life in the natural, but because of tormenting spirits, because of afflicting spirits, because of the spirits of the enemy that actually is ruling and reigning areas in their life that they need to be set free from. Dreadful asylums are filled with mental wrecks that experts cease to be interested in. They are bound with chains by helpless authorities. And as we read in Mark the 5th chapter and the 5th verse, and also in Luke the 9th chapter and the 42nd verse, you will certainly see this. And I'm going to turn to Mark the 5th chapter and the 5th verse, and we're going to see what the Lord has to say about it there. And again, I want to mention to you that many people that are in institutions today, many people that are in asylums today, have become mental wrecks. And I want to tell you something. Tranquilizers is not going to do the job. All the medical help that we can do and help them with will not do the job. More hospitals will not do the job. Unless the believers will come to the place that many of these people are there because of demon possession, and we come to the place that we're not afraid of the reproach and the rejection that will go with casting out of demons, many of these people will be set free in a moment's time. And remember this, that after a person has been delivered of demons, you may say, well, I don't see a big difference tomorrow, I don't see a big difference in 2 days, I don't see a big difference in 3 days. But remember that demons have done a certain amount of destroying. And after that part in the body that has been destroyed because of demon possession and demon activity, it's going to take time then for restoring to take place. And this is where the gifts of healing come into operation. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. So after a person has been delivered of demons, the next day you'll see increase. The next day you'll see an improvement. The next day. And that is actually what the ministry of restoration is. I will restore. And what is the Lord going to restore? The Lord is going to restore all that which the devil has brought destruction to, and all that which the demons have brought destruction to. Now the words of the Lord in Mark the 5th chapter and the 1st verse. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Now as you follow me here, I want you to see something that I've just seen this week concerning the ministry that the Lord gave here. And I want you to notice in the 2nd verse that as this man came out of the tomb, it said a man that had an unclean spirit. Now, I didn't mention plural here, but he said an unclean spirit, and I'm bringing this out for a reason, a thought that I want you to follow. And now in Matthew, or Mark, the 5th chapter and the 3rd verse, and this is what he said about him, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. He could have been sent to any asylum. He could have been sent to any institution. But it said no man could bind him because of the powers of the enemy working in him. He was so strong that no man could bind him because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains. And the chains had been plucked asunder by him and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. Now notice here, always night and day he was crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Now this may be shocking for you to say this, but I believe according to the Word of God that this man was a believer. I believe that this man was a Christian possessed of demons, and keep your minds open here and take the scripture because it said, but when he saw Jesus, he wasn't a man that was just a religious man. He wasn't a man that just had God in mind, but he said, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. The Spirit of God within him, in spite of these demon-possessed area, and we know that he was one of the greatest demon-possessed persons in the Scripture that we have account for here, because we're going to tell you in just a moment how many demons he had. But according to the Word here, he said that when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. I want to tell you something here. Many demon-possessed people across the country and around the world, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the Lord in them is still crying out for deliverance, and they want to worship God in spirit and in truth. Remember that. And the Spirit of God inside of them is still not touched by the demons that is destroying the Bible, that is destroying the body, because according to the Word that is given here, this man saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Now again, I want you to notice something here. It said the man came out of the tomb that had an unclean spirit. And in the 8th verse there, Jesus said, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Now I want you to notice there, why would he say that his name was Legion, that he was many, when the Lord just named one, and he said, come out of him, thou unclean spirit. And then he said, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Now this speaks out, and this brings forth a thought, that there are troops of demons. There are captains that are over each troop. They're more organized. They're more regimented than the United States Army, than the United States Marines, than the United States Air Force, etc. They're more organized than that. And in a troop that will move into a person will be more than one. But we can deal with all the manifestations, all the outlets of the demon, but until we get to the cause, until we get to the real demon that has opened the area, and which, according to the Word of God here, when the Lord said, come out of him, thou unclean spirit. The unclean spirits came out, and he spoke, and he said, for we are many, for my name is Legion. And in the 10th verse, and he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there were nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils, notice now, it goes to plural here, because they came out as an unclean spirit, but many in them. And as he said here, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits, plural, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a deep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Now 2,000 demons came out, and in this realm of an unclean spirit, there were 2,000 spirits that came out. And remember, this was a great troop of demons that came out. And when we begin to move into the realm of discerning of spirits by the Spirit of God, we understand how demons work in troops. We understand the sergeants and so forth. And many times people will say, well, where do you get that? I don't see where all the troops in the troops of demons in the Bible have sergeants and so forth. This is understood in the realm of the Spirit. And the word discerning means to know. And the more we move into the gift of discerning of spirits and allow the discerning of spirits to operate through us, we will understand how the demons work by troops and also that sergeants and so forth, as we have recognized here. Another statement that I make many times in my meetings that is shocking to people, and that is this, that when demons are cast out of a person, they go about seeking a person to enter into them that has an open area. Now, I want to say this here. If every area has been cleansed in your life, and you have been filled with God in every part of your life, in every area of your life, when these demons go about, you don't need to have any fear or frustration, because those demons cannot enter you if there are no unclean areas in your life. But let there be unclean areas in your life, and that is what brings the worry, that is what brings the fear, that is what brings the frustration. Remember that. So if they can't find a person with an unclean area, or if they can't find a person with an open area to move into, they don't like to do it, but they will move into animals. And many times we've seen animals that are very demon-possessed, and there have been times that we have ministered to individuals that we've cast out certain spirits. We've had to tell those people that that animal that they lust so much, that animal had become a partaker of the same demon that they had, and if they wanted to walk on in victory, they would have to dispose of that animal. Now, this is shocking to you. I realize this is shocking to many people as I speak it, but it's truth, and you must understand this. If you don't understand it now, all I ask you to do is to keep your hearts open to truth and revelation, and more you're going to see that what is coming to pass is actually by the word of revelation, and it's actually in the realm of discerning of spirits. And if people want to walk on in victory, they're going to be willing to take the word of the Lord. All right, let us move on here. Youthful hearts are driven by unclean spirits to revolting talk, obscene behavior, and unspeakable diseases. I want to mention this again. A lot of times people say, well, what are we going to do about the children? There's such a spirit of rebellion. They say, what are we going to do about the teenagers? There's such a spirit of unrest among them. They don't want to take discipline and so forth. And again, I want to mention here that the only answer to children is not that they get a special prize for being in Sunday school. It's not that we're going to give away something big that will just build up their ego. But the only answer to it is for them to come to the place to be exposed to the power of God. I'm a firm believer in the move of the Holy Ghost in every service. If you have Sunday school, just don't come together and have the secretary to give the report. Don't come together and just see how many have a birthday. Don't come together and allow the children to go to separate classrooms and to throw sand at one another. Listen, that is not the ministry of the Word. If you're going to have a Sunday school, you gather together and teach them the Word of God. Do away with a lot of the literature that is over the country and take the Word of God. Take the Scripture for what it is. And again, I challenge you, leave all the bugs out. So many times we begin to move in the Word of God, and as the Word of God begins to come forth, people will say, but this, but that, but I was taught something else. It doesn't make any difference what you were taught. If it's not according to the Word of God, it's not that which the Lord has intended for you. And so let's put aside all of this extra stuff. Let's put aside, and if we're going to come together at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, let's take the Bible verse by verse, word by word, chapter by chapter, and let's see that the Word of God is instilled in the hearts of the children. Now listen, parents, I want to say to you, there's a great responsibility that is placed upon us as parents to train up children in the way that they should go, and not only talk about the Word of God, but see that the Word of God is lived in the home, and that as parents we're not frustrated, as parents we're not driven here or there, but as parents that we will impart to our children rest and peace and a real security that can only be given to them if we are walking in joy and victory and the liberty of the Holy Ghost. I'm a firm believer that if you want your child to be serving God when they're 16 and 18 and 20 years old, they're going to have to be exposed to being slain under the power when they're 3 and 4 and 5 and 6. I've seen this with children, even with my own boy. The more they're slain under the power, they're easy to be entreated. It's easy for them to take correction. It's easy for them to be disciplined. Why? Because as they're disciplined by parents, they'll be disciplined by God. And as they move in the realm of the Spirit and allow the Word of God to discipline in their activities when they're very young, when they're even small children, it keeps out rebellion, it keeps out resentment, it keeps out pride, it keeps out the world. And we began to pray many times for our teenagers when the world has really gotten a hold of them at 16 and 18. Now I can see why many of them have left the house of God, because there's been no joy, there's been no peace, there's been resentment, there's been bickering, there's been division. There's actually been nothing but they hear their parents talk about the preacher. They hear their parents talk about this and they talk about that, everything except the Lord. Listen, let's begin to move in and allow the power of God to be operated. Let's not be afraid to take the reproach of Pentecost anymore. Pentecost has forgotten about the reproach that went with Pentecost 50 years ago. Now it's very popular to speak in other tongues. Now it's very popular to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. A number of years ago, this wasn't a popular message. And that's the way the message of truth is. Every time there is truth, there is truth restored to the body of Christ. To begin with, that is rejected. It's not popular in the church world. And now it's the same with the ministry of discerning of spirits and casting out of devils. But thank God it's spreading and spreading and spreading. And there's so many invitations because people are so hungry to be delivered. People are tired of having their ears tickled. People are tired of playing church. People are tired of ritualism. People are tired of a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And listen, Pentecostal saint, I want you to hear me now. Many times we have blamed the formalities on big denominations. We've blamed it here and we've blamed it there. But let's bring it to our own doorstep and realize that almost God has written the word over our church at Ichabod because the Spirit of God has departed from the house of the Lord. No longer do they know what it is for tongues and interpretation to come forth. No longer do they know what it is for the saints to prophesy. If the saints begin to dance before God, if they begin to rejoice in the things of God, it's actually a shock to our Pentecostal circles. Why? Because we've been so removed from the operation of the Spirit of God. Oh, let's allow God's power to come in. Let's get away from all this. You can preach against communism. You can preach against this and you can preach against that. But the only thing that is going to hold communism back, the only thing that is going to come against the forces of the evil is the power of God. And in the world today, it's not communism versus this and something else versus something else. It's the powers of the devil versus the power of God and the power of God versus the power of the enemy. But when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. The knowledge of the Lord shall fill all the earth. Listen, communism isn't going to rule the world. I want to tell you the devil isn't going to rule the world. All the demons and the imps of hell are not going to rule the world. But the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And as sure as I'm ministering to you this to you on this tape, as the Lord taught us to pray, his will is going to be done on earth as well as it is in heaven. And his will is going to be accomplished to those who will dare to believe the things of God. Oh, I'll tell you, I'm sold on this message. And I realize that the devil will stand against it. He will try to send a person to an early grave. He'll come against a person if he can physically. He will come against them with accusation. He will come against them in every way. The religious groups will come against the persons that will stand for this. But stand for it in the name of the Lord. Take the word of God. And just because even a whole church denomination stands against it, you take the word of God for us. Thus saith the Lord. According to the word of God, the power of speech is robbed by dumb spirit. The light of day is darkened by blind spirit. The voices of beloved friends are muted by deaf spirits. The frames and limbs of beloved mothers and tiny children are destroyed and twisted and held by spirits of infirmity. There are many scriptures that we could give you in Matthew 12 and 22, in Mark 9. 14 to 25, in Luke the 13th chapter and the 11th to the 16th verses. I won't take time to read them on the tape because you can read them in the home. But listen here, saints of God. The power of speech is robbed by dumb spirit. You can do everything for that child, but that dumb spirit needs to be cast out. The light of day is darkened by blind spirit. Spirits, the spirit of the devil is causing many people to lose their sight today. The voices of beloved friends are muted by deaf spirits. And here we send many of these people away to asylum, and they're given nothing but dope. They're giving nothing but tranquilizers and greater amounts of it every day just to keep them quieted down. Oh, I visited in institutions lately. My heart has been touched. And I say, Lord, where has the church been? We've been having ham dinners and chicken dinners. We've been entertaining. We've been having conferences. classes. We've been trying to build Sunday schools. We've bought better organs. We've bought better pianos. But how many of us can say with Peter and Paul, Peter and John, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. Even as Pentecostal denominations, we have said, well, we're increased with goods. We have beautiful churches. My, we have this and we have that. Listen, we have almost everything but the power of God today. And the world is not looking for bigger churches. The world isn't looking for nicer organizations. The world isn't looking for a place that has a nicer organ and new pews and so forth. But the people of the world, and even the people in the church today, they are looking for the power of God. And the only way that they're going to find it is through you. It's through me. And just because many, this message brings a message of separation. It separates friends. It separates families. It separates denominational people. It separates people that want to move on into the things of God. But I want to tell you it's needed, because the voices of beloved friends are muted by deaf spirits. The frames and the limbs of beloved mothers and tiny children are destroyed and twisted and held by the spirits of infirmities. Oh, we need a ministry of deliverance today. We need a baptism of love today. We need to realize that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And remember, we have spoken about all of these people with the spirit of infirmity, with the spirit of blindness and dumbness and so forth. These are not cases for doctors. They're not cases for hospitals. They're not cases for the institution. But listen to me, saint of God. They are cases for the simple believers full of the Holy Ghost, recognizing their authority and their possession in the name of Christ. And I want you to notice here, I said they're cases for simple believers. The devil would have you think, oh, this is just for that person because he's given a special ministry of healing. This is just for brother so-and-so because he has been given a special ministry of casting out of demons. Or this is just a special case for so-and-so because God has used him around the world. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And remember, the Lord has called us as the Lord has called us believers. Believers in what? Believers in ministering deliverance. This is the ministry of the simple believers who will dare to believe God. I don't care if you're just a little washwoman. I don't care if you're a mother or father of Israel. You haven't even gone through the 8th grade. You can move in and be saved and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and allow the 9 gifts of the Spirit that are resident at all times after you have received the Holy Ghost, and you can begin to cast out demons in the name of the Lord. You can begin to bring liberty and freedom to people that are about. You don't have to wait till somebody else to do it. You that have these tapes in your home meeting, you begin to realize and recognize, and you begin to move in, even if you don't have a lot of understanding on it. Even if you do it, start in fear and trembling, I challenge you to begin to do it in the name of the Lord. And as you speak to these demons, many of these people will start to cough. Many of them will start to vomit. Don't let that scare you. Many of these demons will start to be manifested. The devil will raise his old ugly head. But don't let that bring fear upon you, because remember, we don't go to any person. We don't go to any delivery room. We don't go to any service to battle or to fight with demons. But we go to command them in the name that is above every name, to leave their place of abode in that person and to challenge that person to be filled with the Word of God, to be filled with the power of God, to begin to walk in the Spirit. And I'll tell you, we are going to know a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. And as the Word of God has spoken and said so many times, there is deliverance in Zion. And I believe the word deliverance means that a person will not only be saved and their name recorded upon the Lamb's Book of Life, but they will be delivered from every evil force. They will not only be delivered of demons, but they will come to the place where Paul said in Galatians 4:19, he says, I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you. And as we travail, the powers of darkness will go forth, and that which has generated unforgiveness, that which has generated resentment and bitterness and strife in the house of God, the Spirit of the Lord, the Son of God, will begin to travail in and through us and driving out those forces that have hindered the flow of God. Now remember, the power of God will not flow through unclean areas. Many times people say, why can't I flow in the Spirit? Why can't I feel the power of God like other people are feeling it? And why can't I move in like other people are moving in? As I told you before, the Spirit of God will not flow through unclean areas. The Spirit of God will not flow through that area that is not filled with the Spirit of God. But the Lord came to make us a whole person. We are complete in Him. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in my Lord, and I am complete in Him. We sing a chorus that has brought liberty and victory to many. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. When we stand in the name of Jesus, tell me who can stand before. When we stand in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Oh, thank God for the power in the name of Jesus. Thank God for the cleansing in the name of Jesus. Thank God that these are days of the temple, which you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and the temple is being cleansed today, and the Spirit of God is moving in a supernatural way. But as we've told the congregations across America so many times, remember, it takes a brand new bottle for the brand new wine. If you want the brand new wine today, you have to become a brand new bottle, for this is a reason that we read in the book of Ezekiel. The Lord said, I'll give you a new heart. I'll give you a new spirit. The church has to have a new heart. The believer has to have a new spirit. There's been such a spirit of unbelief. There's been such a spirit of satisfaction. There's been such a spirit of discord. And oh, may the Spirit of God move upon us and make us realize that we need a new heart, and we give a new spirit. And as we receive a new heart and a new spirit, the Lord is going to give us the new wine. Praise be unto the name of the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.